For the benefit of those that wasn't here last week, baby, turn that on for me. Turn that on, Paris. For the benefit of those of who wasn't here last week, we talked about the names of God. In Christianity, God has seven names that we've given him. And of course, there's a piece of scripture that I wanted to bring out because you're going to see all of these names being represented in the scripture we're going to read. And as soon as my producer gets this thing on for me, I'm going to tell you about a lady that you've probably never heard of. I've not heard too many preachers preach about her, but nonetheless, she's here. She's there in the Word of God, okay? We talked last week, for the benefit of those who wasn't here, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Somebody said in the Old Testament, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen its seed begging for bread. God is our provider. God looks out for us when we don't even look out for ourselves. It is God's desire to provide for you, to look out for you, and to keep you. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ knows how to feed the fowls of the air, or the birds of the air. And if he can do that for the birds of the air, surely he can take care of you. There's Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth. By his stripes ye are healed. By his stripes ye are healed. Chapter 7. By his stripes you are healed. This is the word of God. It is God's good pleasure. It is Jesus' desire to lay his hands on you and to heal you and to take care of you. Okay? Jesus went about doing the business of God, healing lame legs and open blinded eyes. He would do this because he is the Lord our healer, Jehovah Nissi. We're under the banner of God, under the cloak of God. Okay? Jesus says, when he used the Apostle Paul, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is the mind that needs renewing. Your heart will take care of itself. God will take care of your heart. But you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're under his banner. You must think the way he thinks. Move the way he moves. You getting this so far? Okay. Move the way God moves. Do it the way God does it. There's Jehovah Raha. This is the Lord is our shepherd. You remember David talking, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said somewhere that I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is what a good shepherd does. He lays down his life for his sheep. If there's 99 over here and one gets away, Jesus will risk his life to go get the one. That's what a good shepherd does. Jesus also says that the sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not hear. You have to know his voice. Huh? You're with me? You have to know his voice. So he is the shepherd. There's Jehovah Shalom. Jesus is my peace. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. I give this to you. Jesus can still speak peace out of a whirlwind. And things are going on around you. And so many voices. Jesus is still that still, clear voice that can speak to you. And you will be able to hear. There is Jehovah Tiskanu. He is the Lord our righteous. He is the Lord our righteous. He is the Lord our righteous. Jesus is the Lord our righteous. And for the sake of time, there is also Jehovah Shammah. He is present. God is right here, right now, in this place, working his work, doing his thing. Okay? Your homework is going to be in Luke chapter 7. And let me say this to you. Remember the names of God. All of that rolled up into one. And if I was teaching at a biblical university, at a Bible school, teaching theology and philosophy, the students that would look at me, I would tell them, all those names are God rolled up into one. It's God. Okay? You don't have time to sit and figure out what name should I use with this particular need. He is God. All by himself. Elohim. Adonai. El Shaddai, all of that rolled up into one. See, he is God, and he's willing to take care of you and I. So, in chapter 7 of Luke, Sister Jackie, I read this thing. And I read it years ago. But, you know, sometimes in life, things will make sense a little down the road, you see. But there is this woman on this Mother's Day. There's this woman, Pastor Van, and she's from a place called, depending on what side of the fence you're from, Nain or Naini. This place is in Galilee. It'll be like living in the county of Georgetown. Georgetown is a good little size, but in the county of Georgetown, you have other smaller little cities like Andrews, right? Plantersville, places like that. Browns Ferry. These are little smaller places within the county. So this particular place, Nain, this place was in Galilee. This place was about 12 miles from Capernaum. You remember Jesus doing all kind of miracles there in Capernaum. But there's this lady coming down from this place, Nain. She comes down from a high place. And she has to go to a low place at the gate. She's in a high place in Nain. And she's got to come down to a low place. This particular woman, she's a widow, and the Bible doesn't give us too much detail about this woman. This is what we do know about this woman. There's a funeral procession taking place. This woman is carrying her only son. So she's coming from Nain down to the place where the gates are to go bury her son just on the other side of Capernaum, some 10, 12 miles away. She has mourners, Pastor Van, behind her. Now, in the West, we do it a little bit different. If you've ever traveled a little bit, you'll know in the Middle East, they do it different. So, you know, we have a funeral procession, and nowadays they act real crazy when they're taking the casket, they be strolling, all the stupid stuff they do nowadays, okay? The person dead, they can care less about how you do it and how you dress. Listen to what I'm saying to you. But they have mourners in the Middle East. I've seen these funerals. And they walk for miles weeping and wailing. And this is what this lady has behind her. This boy, her son, they didn't call it a casket, and it wasn't a casket in those days. It was called a bier, B-I-E-R. It was like a cot. You just lay the body on top of the cot and go take them to the gravesite. It wasn't a closed casket. And so this woman now has this crowd following her down to the gate. And Jesus is at the bottom of the gate. Y'all still with me? Jesus has a crowd following him too. So you got two crowds. One following her, one following Jesus. No doubt that the disciples of Jesus Christ were in a good mood because Jesus had just wrought another miracle before he came into contact with the lady from Nain. Boy, I'm so happy right now. Two crowds, one weeping and wailing, and the other ones, the disciples with the multitude following Jesus. And there's an intersection down at the gate. There's an intersection at the gate. Two crowds. Who's going to do who? She's just lost a son. Jesus is just still walking. Two sons. One dead, one alive. Two sons. One son lived and died. One son lived and now he's dead. Jesus Christ is living to go die. Two sons. Both have death in common. Did I say Happy Mother's Day? Two crowds, two sons. Life and death meet at this gate. And you know Jesus is powerful because death had to cease when it saw Jesus. What I love about this particular story, this widow, she had two choices. Either she's going to be a lady of the evening, or she's going to be a beggar like the multitude I saw begging on the side of the streets of Kabul. And they sit and beg all day with their children laying down on that pavement in 128 degree weather. Her source has died. Her source is gone. The Bible says that Jesus saw her. Now this lady, Brother Jackson, is in so much pain. She is so distraught, she didn't even recognize Jesus. As a matter of fact, the woman didn't ask Jesus for anything. Every miracle you see, they ask Jesus, "Lord, I want to see. Lord, could you touch my leg?" They ask. Brother Rick, this woman didn't ask Jesus for anything. The Bible just says that Jesus had compassion on her. Because Jesus knew God the Father felt some type of way about him being his only son about to be crucified. So this lady is suffering badly. Jesus had compassion on her. The two crowds, weeping and wailing, not knowing that Jesus was going to do something for her. Jesus tell this woman this, Pastor Van. She just lost her son. She don't know where the money coming from. He says to her, "Don't cry." I mean, really, Jesus? Really? I lost somebody I love and you telling me, "Don't cry"? Another translation puts it this way. Jesus says, "Stop your crying." That's the difference. Stop your crying. Everybody else still wailing behind her. And Jesus says specifically to her, "Stop crying." Because Jesus knows exactly what you need and he knows he has the power to deliver it to you. He is that guy. And Jesus says to the corpse, because he's wrapped now, "Get up, live." And the boy sat up and started talking. The crowd stopped crying. Jesus' crowd never was deterred. They continued to praise God because they know what Jesus had just got finished doing before Jesus met this woman of Nain. Jesus touched the boy. The boy got up, walked away with his mother. Jesus wrought a miracle, gave the son back to his mother. And the only thing now Jesus is going to do is continue to do a few more miracles and stuff, knowing that his time, he's going to have to lay on the cot, on the bier. And who's going to come and raise him up? Who's going to raise him? The disciples had a problem with casting out demons. "We can't cast this one out, so you know you can't depend on them." This woman never talked to Jesus, but Jesus talked to her. Some mothers, and I'm encountering it more and more, they don't know how to pray, Gina. They don't know how to read the word. Most of them don't even go to church. And Jesus this morning has compassion on them. They ain't thinking about talking to God because they're too hurt. They can't even see him. But he sees them. And wherever they are, he can do the same thing that's dead in their life. Resuscitate the dead thing. Now there's a problem, Pastor Van. Because Jesus is a priest. He doesn't mess up ceremony. Because in the Old Testament, a high priest couldn't touch dead things. He just touched this boy. He didn't mess up bad, Brother Jimmy. Jesus ain't go to the board. He didn't ask the chairman. He didn't go to the denomination. They didn't ask how much money he raised. Jesus touched a dead thing and didn't think twice about it. Didn't think twice about it. Isn't that amazing? All these religious folks around, You know the Sadducees and Pharisees following him, just waiting for him to mess up. He never apologized because he gave the dead thing to somebody who would appreciate it more. Not to the religious folks, but to someone who loves. Someone who can take care of and nurture. Some women don't have children. But God has put in them every instinct a mother is supposed to have. The Bible does not say what happened after the son and the mother went away. But we know spiritually what happened because, like everybody Jesus came into contact with, it's hard hanging out with Jesus. You can't just hang out with him and not be touched. You can expect something. You're going to get something from him. So Jesus Christ was everything this woman needed him to be at the time she needed him the most, and she didn't ask. There's a move, there's a spirit that God is doing. There's a movement God has. The people that have waited on him and waited on him, they're not asking. But it is the good pleasure that every good and perfect gift be from above, come from God himself. There are some things this mother could teach the son a dad can't. And then, of course, there are certain things the dad can teach the boy that the woman can't. One of the things I love about my wife is she's teaching Sister Sarah, our young girls, how to be women, how to be ladylike. Because, you know, you can't shake your behind all week and not be able to read or write or write a paragraph. And that's what some of us are doing because the mothers are not there teaching them how to be young ladies, young girls. And this is how you sit with your legs crossed. This is how you wear this.
Paris.
This is how you do this.
See?
I'll end with this. Jesus does this thing for this woman. She never asked. Never asked. The woman at the well that spoke with Jesus, in the beginning, she didn't really want to hear what he had to say anyway. But she found out that this man knew more about her and could help her, and Jesus did. On this Mother's Day, my prayer is simply this, and I pray, whatever, Lord, you want to do in the lady's life, your daughter's life, do it, Lord, so the world can be changed. Listen, as much as Jesus loved Peter, James, and John, his main three boys, he never chose the three to discover he was gone after he was risen. It was Mary that came to the tomb and said, "Where have you placed my Lord?" He loved the apostles. But he didn't use the men to discover he was gone. It was the woman. Only the woman could give birth to something, not a man. Now, a man can follow the birth and elaborate on it and teach on it. The man can do that. The man can bring clarity to this child. Doctors do it all the time. But the woman gives birth to the thing. And there's some things that God has placed inside of the woman that is to be birthed in these last days. But we're playing with it. We're not serious about it because we're trying to put women down when God is trying to lift them up. And you're caught up on, well, a woman shouldn't do this, and a woman, and if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't be here in the first place. She gives life. And God will use the man to till the thing, to mature the thing, to grow the thing. And I'm excited about this because when a woman has her mind made up, brother, it's done. You know, at Bike Week, Pastor Van, but it's Mother's Day weekend, and she told me Friday, no. So I'm like a little kid just watching all the bikes. Man, look at this bike. Look at this bike. Oh, I like that bike right there. I like But Chris, I'm serious. God himself is using women more than ever to speak something in the earth, to give something to the earth that she's pregnant with, something we have never seen. I know some people don't believe that. Trust me, some things that we have never seen. And listen, it's been in her the whole time. The woman that tells me I can't ride the bike, something's there. But I gotta look past my hurt and see it. Ain't gonna help. Did y'all get anything out of that?
Mm-hmm.
You got some out of that, Gene?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how else to put it. I trust God, man. He'll take the rest of it and deal with it the way he wants to do it. But I know I heard him right. I heard him right. I'm excited to see what's in my wife. I hadn't seen it yet. But it's there. My faith says it's there. God says it's there. And listen, baby, whatever she got, it's only to bless me. She can't take what she has and give it to you. It don't work that way, because you got your own unique person you need to be dealing with and talking to. And there's a way you pull it out of her. I'm not going to compliment you more about your gift more than I would my wife's gift. That's just wrong. I have to stay here and compliment her and feed her with it until she catches on, until it catches fire. And after that, it's all over. Amen? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience and grace towards us. Lord, I pray that these mothers today will have a blessed day, and that you would continue to be that source, Lord, that they look to in their time of trouble. And even when things are all good, Lord, they remember the good thing that God has done for all of us, Lord. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.